الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين، الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس، والله يحب المحسنين. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, young ones in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, with regards to speakers like myself, kyun aah mein kuch taaseer nahi, kya ishq ka dil mein teer nahi? Kyun aah mein kuch taaseer nahi, kya ishq ka dil mein teer nahi? Jab noor nahi khud hi dil mein, minbar pe wo kya barsayenge? That why is there no effect in the advices that we give, in the sermons that we deliver? Perhaps we do not have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Kya ishq ka dil mein teer nahi, jab noor nahi khud hi dil mein. When we ourselves look into our hearts and don't find the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, minbar pe wo kya barsayenge? Then what are we going to try and spread from the members of the masajid of the world? And therefore, in the presence of the senior ulama, it is not appropriate for a young student like myself to be delivering the Jummah sermon today. But nevertheless, Maulana ordered me, and I am standing before you today. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial for one and all, and allow us to practice upon the advices that have been said. Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, Kamyabi to kaam se banti hai. Success is acquired through kaam, through action, through implementation upon the advices. Otherwise, there is plenty of work and bayans that are being given, plenty of seminars and conferences that are held. But until we do not implement, internalize, practice, until then, it is of no benefit. We will not be successful. Nevertheless, since the time I recall, whenever there has been a nikah on a Jummah occasion at this masjid, then the general practice has been that some advices regarding nikah and marriage were imparted from the minbar on the Jummah occasion. And it is only but appropriate to continue with that for the benefit of the couple that have been married, for the benefit of all those that are married for the last, even if it was yesterday, or for the last 50, 60 years of their lives that have been married, because you can always make a change, you can always improve, you can always be a better husband, and she can always be a better wife. Therefore, I felt it appropriate not to break that sort of silsila and chain and that good practice and discuss some aspects of nikah and marriage and how we on a whole can be better husbands and the wives can be better wives. In the verses that were recited during the khutbah of nikah, and they are recited during every khutbah of nikah, there is one common thing, one common command that has been repeated in all these verses. And therefore in today's talk we want to concentrate on that particular command and perhaps mention one or two other pointers, one or two other points, simple little points that we can implement into our lives and we can make our marriages more harmonious. We all know that the month of Ramadan passed 2 weeks back. The purpose of the month of Ramadan was taqwa, Allah consciousness. Then 2 weeks ago on the Thursday night when the moon was sighted, immediately after that, first it was la'allakum tattaqoon, fasting was ordained upon you, so that you might acquire taqwa. And then as soon as the moon was sighted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a message, now al-hajju ashhurum ma'lumat. The months of Hajj have commenced from the very time the moon was sighted. And in that again, in that very same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, start preparing for Hajj. Take your provisions, prepare your provisions for Hajj. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Again, the message is taqwa. When you prepare for Hajj, also the best provision that you can take is also taqwa. When it came to the marriage also, it was taqwa that was mentioned in there. Again, that if the husbands and the wives, they both inculcate, internalize, practice and implement the dictates of taqwa, then those marriages will be harmonious. Those will be happy marriages. They will be homes of jannat on earth. But if we are not going to inculcate taqwa, then unfortunately we are far from leading happy lives and we are far from having harmonious dwellings. In the verses of the Quran Sharif that I recited in the beginning of the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some qualities of the muttaqeen. And we would perhaps try and discuss that in the light of a marriage relationship. In the light of a marriage relationship. And how we can implement these qualities of the muttaqeen so that our marriages will be more harmonious, more happy, and more peaceful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That hasten, strive, compete with one another, compete with one another, have competition with one another in acquiring a jannat, the breadth of which is the heavens and the earth, and that jannat has been created for the muttaqeen. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some qualities of these muttaqeen. And these are not the only qualities of the muttaqeen. There are many other qualities, but basically taqwa means to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directed at whichever person, at whatever moment, that is what taqwa is all about. And hence, if it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He says, عَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that be kind and good to the wives, then the muttaqi is the one who is kind to his wife. And if it is the hukam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it is the encouragement, or he has mentioned in the hadith that khayrukum khayrukum li ahli, wa ana khayrun li ahli, that the best of you are the best of those who are the best, the best of you are those who are best to their wives, then the muttaqi will be the one who is best to his wife. Nevertheless, in these verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some qualities of these muttaqeen. And as I mentioned, we will try and discuss that in the light of a marriage relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "U'iddat lil muttaqeen," that that jannat has been created for the muttaqeen. And who are these muttaqeen? Alladhina yunfiquna fis sarra'i wad darra. They are those who spend in prosperity and in adversity. Of course, the verse is very, very general in that it does not particularly refer to a marriage relationship and the husband spending on his wife. But as we are discussing it in the light of this, marriage and marriage as a whole, we can easily deduce from here that the muttaqi are the ones who spend in times of prosperity and in times of adversity. They spend upon their wives. In another verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى, that men have got a degree of dominance over women. And it is only but natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and we are not for a moment professing against equality of rights, but there are some natural traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed man with, which he has not blessed woman with. And we are not degrading the position of woman by any degree when we say that man has got a degree of dominance over woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is because of two reasons that man has got that degree of dominance. And one of those reasons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. It is simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so. He has made man in charge of woman. It is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that dominance over their wives. And this does not denigrate or degrade or reduce the status of woman in any way whatsoever. It is very much like we say that the father in the house is the head of the house for all practical reasons, for if we don't have a head in the house, the affairs of the home would not be able to be run smoothly. So in that way, we say that as far as the marriage is concerned, then the husband has got a degree of dominance over the wife. But what I am getting at is the second point. The second reason why men are dominant over women. In the same verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the first reason was, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them dominant over women. And the second reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And because they spend from their wealth, they spend of their wealth on those women. And therefore we see and we handle cases, and therefore we know that where a man does not spend, he does not provide maintenance for the wife, he does not fulfill his obligations of providing maintenance, then the degree of dominance that he has gradually diminishes. The degree of respect that he has to maintain in the house, or the wife is supposed to have for the husband, that degree of respect is no longer there. So the first quality of the muttaqeen are those alladhina yunfiquna fis sarra'i wad darra. They spend in times of adversity and in times of prosperity. Those husbands spend and make sure that they fulfill their obligation towards the wife in as far as their maintenance is concerned. They are not those who depend on the wife, or when they are choosing a wife, also choose the wife that has got a good job and he's bringing home a stable income, as seems to be the case. So, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. And then this aspect of maintenance or providing for the wife and spending for the marital home, it has got different degrees. One is, of course, the degree which is incumbent, obligatory, where a person has to provide for his wife, her subsistence, her accommodation, maintenance, clothing, shelter, roti, kapra, makan, they say. These things, a man has got to provide for his wife. But in addition to that, the ulama mentioned, and in particular, my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, he says, and the woman really love it, that one very easy prescription to bring about harmony in the marital home, to bring about happiness in the marital home, and that is in addition to all of the maintenance that we give the wife, in addition to the groceries, in addition to all of that, you also, according to your capacity, according to your ability, in addition to all of that, give a certain amount of pocket money to the wife. And she should be able to use it as she pleases, without you asking where it was spent, or how it was spent, and why it was spent in that manner. That should be solely for the wife. And if we have not implemented this in our lives, in our marriages, up till now, and our marriages are 40 and 50 years old, then it is still not too late. We can still go home and tell our wives, "Hey, meri buriya, shakkar ki puriya. Oh, my sweetheart, this is for you. This is for you." And see what a smile it brings upon their faces. Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he intercedes on behalf of women in the Quran Sharif, and he says, "Ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf." Please be good to your wives. Can you imagine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is interceding on behalf of women and saying, "Men, be good to your wives." And would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not be pleased with a husband who goes to that degree to be good to his wife and gives her that pocket money, and then he does not even ask her and question her about it? Unlike the person who Maulana often gives the example, there was a very miserly person and he would bring 6 eggs home for the week. And every day he would have 1 egg, and at the end of the week, he wants to know where the eggs went from the wife. He said, "Where's all the eggs gone for the week?" So, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not be miserly and hold back. Let us spend. When we spend, there are angels that make dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made the dua, "Allahumma a'ati munfiqan khalafa wa mumsikan talafa." Oh Allah, give the one who spends in anyone's, in the path, whether it is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the wife, on yourself, but you spend. "Allahumma a'ati munfiqan khalafa." The one who spends, oh Allah, give him more. "Wa mumsikan talafa." The one who holds back, he is miserly, he does not spend, oh Allah, destroy his wealth. Oh Allah, destroy his wealth. So we should be spending. Of course, we are not saying that we should be spending without any degree of holding back, or without planning, and you just go on a wild shopping chase or wild shopping sprees and spend in that manner. We are not saying that. The true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they maintain a balance between being miserly and between being spendthrift. They maintain a balance in that, and the Quran Sharif speaks about that. So, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. And then the other salient quality of the muttaqeen, those who have adopted taqwa, those who want to maintain harmony in their marital homes, they want to have happiness in their marital homes, they want to have good marriage relationships, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their second quality is وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. That their second quality is that they drink up their anger. They drink up their anger. They do not display their anger. And unfortunately, it is this aspect of anger which is something that is a natural. It is natural in men. It is something that is important that we should have, for without anger we would not be able to be angry. We would not be able to show our dissatisfaction upon things which are against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we did not have the quality of anger, we would not be able to display our protest against those who wanted to burn the Quran Sharif. So anger is something that is good, but it should be also displayed, vent should be given to it in the right manner. And not in all cases, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ, that the muttaqeen, those who want to maintain good marital homes and good marital relationships, they should be drink up their anger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in one hadith that the worst of you is the one who, he is very quick in getting angry, but it takes him very long to recuperate, to normalize. Sari'ul ghadab, bati'ul fay. He is very, very quick in getting angry, but when it comes to normalizing and forgiving and coming right again, then it takes him very long to normalize his condition. So that is the worst of you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the best of you are the ones who are bati'ul ghadab, sari'ul fay. Who it takes them very, very long to get angry. And then when they do get angry, even sari'ul fay, they are very quick to normalize. Forgive, overlook, be compassionate. And for us to maintain good marital homes, marriage relationships, then we have to have this quality of drinking up the anger. There are so many incidents, and even during the month of Ramadan and after the month of Ramadan, hardly a week goes by, nay, hardly a day goes by in which we do not hear about incidences, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, of where the person asks that, Maulana, I was in an absolute rage and I uttered the words and now I'm regretting. Does it take place? They ask then that, does it take place? And we all know what we are speaking about. The talaqs. Do they take place? So no one sits his wife on his lap and says, sweetheart, I'm now divorcing you. It doesn't happen like that. It all happens in anger. And then it takes place. So we need to learn well in advance. We need to be able to maintain and control that anger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the strong one is not the one who is able to put another person down in when he is wrestling him. Or perhaps if we relate it to our times, that the strong one is not the one who is doing weights in the gym, who is running on the mill. The strong one is not the one who has got huge muscles and can show them off. The strong one is the one who is able to control his anger at the time of anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. And then the next quality of these people is وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, that they forgive the people. And in the context of our discussion today, they forgive their wives for any mistake that they may have made. The wives also forgive the husbands for any mistake that the husbands make. Of course, they should be reasonable sort of errors and mistakes, something in the normal course. But some of us make such mistakes that are unforgivable sometimes. But we are talking about simple things within the marital home. Sometimes something is not cleaned up. Or the food was not made according to your taste. And just to blow your top off on that, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, to overlook, to have a big heart, to forgive. أَلَا تُحِبُّ, in one hadith of the Quran, in one ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَسْفَحُ, that forgive and overlook. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, do you not want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned on one occasion when his servant did something wrong, and he mentioned that, how much must I endure you? How much must I tolerate you? His father was sitting there and he says, tolerate him to the extent of which you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tolerate your mistakes. So tolerate her and she should tolerate you. Have a big heart. Be compassionate and kind. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those that are good and those that are kind. Then something which is very, very important, and because we do not have time, I'll just move away from these verses of the Quran Sharif and mention one very, very important point. A golden principle and rule. And if we implement that in our lives, in any aspect of our lives, in any aspect of our lives, whether we are driving, or we are at home, we are at work, in our communication with people, if we keep two E's out of the equation, when we say anything or do anything, and keep those two E's out of the equation, the husbands with the wives and the wives with the husbands, then you would definitely see the positive results of that in your lives. And those two E's are your egos and your emotions. Never say anything or do anything emotionally or based on your egos. Just because he said something, so she must also respond back. She must say something back. Or just because the wife said something and the husband feels that he is the one who is wearing the pants in the house, so he must also say something back. No. That is going to create further discord, further disunity, more problems. Keep your egos and your emotions out of the equation. And it will help you not only in your marital lives, but in any aspect of your life. And the minute you get your egos and emotions involved and you say something, the person who it affects the most, who it harms the most, is the one himself. Take a simple example. You're driving on the road. The person cut in front of you, perhaps a taxi driver. And you got all enraged and angry and you blurted a few swear words out of your mouth. Now the person who was driving the taxi, did it affect him in any way? Did he hear it or did it just blow up your emotions? It affected you, those who were sitting in the car with you. And if you just let it go, in a little while you would have normalized your situation. So it helps to keep your egos and emotions out even to that extent. Even to that extent when you are even driving your car. So can you imagine in a normal marital relationship? Then something which is again very, very important, and I'll just take one more minute, is that in situations, especially during marriage, everything is not a bed of roses in marriage. There are times when the goings get tough also. And that is not the time for the tough to get going then. They say when the goings get tough, then the tough get going. In other words, they break up and they move off. But in a marital home, you're in it for the long draw. You're in it for life. Till death do us part. For life you are there. So, there are situations where there may be some discord, where we don't agree with the spouses. So remember, both husbands and wives. And the ulama have mentioned, Dr. Abdul Haysab rahmatullah alayhi would mention that if we say the right thing, in the right manner, the right thing, in the right manner, on the right occasion, and with the right intention, we will see the right result. But these four things are important. If you say the right thing in the right manner, with the right intention, but on the wrong occasion, you had it. You're not going to see the right result. You must say the right thing in the right manner, on the right occasion, and with the right intention. And you must see the right result. And there's no time to go into the details, but there are so many examples of this that can be quoted from a very marital home. But we can apply those examples. And we've heard the principle, if we can implement that principle in our lives, saying the right thing on the right occasion, in the right manner, with the right intention, we will definitely see the right results. If we implement that in every aspect of our lives, we will see the benefits of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon whatever has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create harmony and happiness in our homes. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.